Okay, so imagine a world where if you speak truth to power, you could get silenced.
Oh, wow.
And where the wealthy just kind of walk all over the poor and basic human rights, forget about it.
Yeah.
It's the world of Amos,
Right.
8th centuries BC prophet. And his words, they still kind of resonate with us even today.
Yeah, they
We're
do.
going deep on this one.
Oh, okay.
We're looking at a lecture by Dr. Marv Wilson,
All right.
and he explores the book of Amos, who's often called the prophet of social justice.
Oh, interesting.
So,
Yeah.
you ready for this?
I am. I
We're
am.
talking ancient cities,
Right.
brutal practices, a society just drowning in corruption.
Yeah.
And you might be surprised at how much this stuff parallels our own times. So Dr. Wilson starts by introducing Amos as this shepherd from Tekoa.
Okay.
That's a town close to Jerusalem. Now, not your typical prophet background, is it?
Not really, no. I mean, especially back then, shepherds weren't exactly like the movers and shakers of society. You know,
Yeah.
they weren't the wealthy elite, they weren't the powerful.
Right.
So it's interesting, right?
It's interesting, though.
When you have a shepherd who's chosen by God to like speak out against injustice, I
Yeah.
mean, that shakes things up, right? It challenges the whole power structure.
It does.
Even today, that would be pretty radical.
And to make things even more,
Yeah.
I guess, more interesting,
Sure.
he's prophesying to the northern kingdom of Israel, right?
Yeah.
Back when you had Israel and Judah.
Exactly. It was during the divided kingdoms,
Yeah.
right? So, yeah, tons of political and social turmoil, right?
Yep.
You know,
Yeah.
and Amos is prophesying to the northern kingdom like right before they fall to the Assyrians,
Okay.
like right before 722, 721 BC, right around there.
Yeah.
And his message is really interesting. You know, it's a stark warning to the people like, hey, you guys need to change your ways, right?
Right.
But it's also this condemnation, this powerful condemnation of all the violence
Yeah.
and the corruption that had like really seeped into every part of their society.
So Dr. Wilson points out that there's this interesting
Oh,
connection
yeah.
between Amos and
Okay.
Jonah, the prophet
Jonah.
Jonah,
Yeah.
and they both say that God cares about more than just Israel.
Oh, that's
Like,
fascinating.
he's concerned with all nations.
It is.
It's kind of like an international morality, which was pretty progressive for the time.
I think the thing that I find most interesting about Amos is the
Yeah.
way that he built his argument. You know,
Okay.
he uses this phrase over and over again, for three transgressions, yes, for four.
Okay.
Right. And he's like listing all these sins that the nations are committing, like
Okay.
one after another,
Right.
before he drops the hammer of judgment.
Right. And then he just.
And the crimes he's talking about, I mean, they're shocking,
Yeah.
even for back then. I mean,
Okay. So what are we talking about?
so for instance, he starts with Damascus
Okay.
and,
I've heard that's the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world.
yeah, I think that's right. It's the oldest one.
Yeah.
And Amos accuses them of threshing Gilead with threshing sledges of iron.
Okay.
So you might think, okay, he's talking about separating grain, but that's not what's going on here at all. It's this brutal image, right? Describing how violent their conquest was, like ripping people apart with these like spiked wheels, you
Oh,
know?
wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
It is, right? It's not just war, it's like
Right.
this cruelty, you know?
Yeah.
Dehumanizing.
Yeah.
Then he goes on to Gaza, which was, you know, a huge commercial center.
Right.
And what were they guilty of? Human trafficking on a
Oh.
huge scale. Right? Amos says they were selling captives to Edom,
Okay.
and they didn't care, you know?
Wow.
No mercy, no nothing.
And it makes you think about how long slavery and
Right.
exploitation have been around.
Oh, yeah. It goes way back.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes you wonder, like,
Yeah.
how have we not learned from this?
Yeah, it's a really good point.
And then Tyre, another major trading hub,
Right.
same thing. They're called out for like delivering entire populations into captivity.
Okay.
And
And then Edom, they don't get out the hook either, right? They're
no.
condemned for going after Israel, like without pity, he says.
Wow. And it's a clear reference to you know, the story of Jacob and Esau.
Okay.
So it makes you think about how like violence just keeps going,
Yeah.
right? How grudges and hatred, you know,
Yeah.
can go on for generations.
So it's not even just about like violence, it's about
Right.
the systems that keep this stuff
And
going.
exactly. And then it gets even worse
Okay.
when Amos focuses on Ammon and Moab.
What does he say about them?
So Ammon, he accuses them of attacking the most vulnerable people.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He talks about them ripping open pregnant women to expand their territory, right?
Oh, my goodness.
It's just brutal, right?
Yeah.
It shows you how little they cared about human life.
Right.
I mean, how twisted can you get, right?
And then...
And then there's Moab.
Okay.
Their crime might seem a little less awful, you know?
Yeah.
But it says a lot about their culture.
Okay.
So Amos accuses them of burning the bones of the king of Edom to make lime.
Okay.
But, like, in the ancient world...
Yeah.
You didn't mess with dead bodies. It was like the ultimate disrespect.
Right.
It violated how sacred life and death were.
So we're seeing like this pattern of violence, cruelty, no respect for human dignity.
Right.
And this is all happening outside of Israel?
Yeah.
So where's Amos going with all this, you know?
Well, this is where Amos takes a hard turn.
Okay.
And he goes from those nations to Judah and Israel, his own people.
Wow.
And he really gets...
And he doesn't hold back, right?
No, he really lays into them.
Okay, so what were they doing that was so bad?
Okay, so for Judah, Amos says their big sin was rejecting the Torah.
Mm.
You know, the law of God. They were following other gods.
Right.
Turning their backs on God. Right. It was like spiritual treason.
Yeah.
You know, but for Israel, the northern kingdom,
right,
he focuses on social injustice.
Oh, okay.
Like, Amos just goes off on this, like, scathing indictment of how they exploited people.
Yeah.
And how they totally disregarded the poor and vulnerable.
Okay, what were they doing? Like, what were the charges?
Oh, man. So he says that they were selling the righteous for silver and the needy for sandals.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's such a powerful image. Like, human life became a commodity.
Right.
Could just buy and sell people for practically nothing.
Wow.
And he accuses them of trampling on the heads of the poor.
Yeah.
Which is like this metaphor for how they were obsessed with wealth and power, right?
Right.
And they were willing to crush anyone to get it. And
yeah.
probably the worst thing, he says that they were forcing Nazarites to break their holy vows.
Remind me about the Nazarites.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the Nazarites, they were these people who dedicated their lives to God, right?
Right.
They took this special vow.
Okay.
They didn't drink grape products.
Oh, okay.
They avoided dead bodies and they let their hair grow long.
Okay.
It was like an outward sign of their devotion, you know?
Okay.
So to force a Nazarite to drink wine.
Right.
I mean, that was like a direct attack on their beliefs.
Like they'd lost sight of what it meant to be God's people. You know?
Totally. All that compassion and justice and righteousness, you know, all gone.
Yeah.
And that's really what Amos is getting at. He's telling them to remember God's been faithful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he reminds them about Egypt, the wilderness, how they conquered Canaan.
Yeah.
He even says, like, remember the Amorites.
Okay.
They were tall as cedars, strong as oaks.
Wow.
And God took them down.
Wow. That's amazing.
Right. God was always with them, protecting them, providing for them.
But then they turn around.
But then they turn us and they're just...
And they're just awful to people.
Awful. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is. Right.
It's like they forgot.
It's like they forgot everything.
Yeah. It's like they forgot everything they went through.
It really is.
All the lessons they should have learned.
They should know better. You know?
We should know better.
Yeah. And that's what Amos wants, right? He wants them to remember.
Yeah.
To remember their covenant with God. To remember what justice and righteousness really mean.
Right. It's not just like a nice idea.
Right. It's got to be at the core of their society. It's got to be the foundation.
And
but it's not enough just to remember, right?
Yeah.
He wants them to change, to actually do something.
Yeah. And Dr. Wilson talks about how Amos uses these like really strong images to get his point across.
Oh, yeah.
Like he calls the wealthy women cows of Bashan.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty wild image, right?
And it's so effective, you know?
Yeah, it definitely makes you pay attention.
And it's not just a random insult, you know? There's a meaning behind it.
Okay.
So Bashan, that was a place known for its, like, amazing pastures.
Right, like really rich land.
The best cattle, you know? So when he calls these women cows, he's saying they're overindulging.
Okay.
They're living in luxury while people around them are suffering.
So it's not even just the women.
Right.
It's like... He's calling out...
It's whole system.
Right, whole system.
Yeah, he's going after the leaders, the judges, the wealthy elite.
So anyone who is benefiting.
Anyone who is benefiting from the misery of the poor.
And he talks about the religious people, too.
Yeah, he doesn't let them off easy.
Like, they're doing all the religious stuff.
Right, all the rituals.
That their hearts aren't in it.
It's all a show, right? It's like their piety is fake.
It's just covering up their hypocrisy.
And that's really at the heart of what Amos is saying, right?
Yeah.
True religion, it's not about going through the motions.
It's about, like, living it.
Exactly. It's about justice, compassion, righteousness.
And actually doing something.
Yeah, about making a real difference.
So when Amos talks about repentance,
okay,
is it about personal change? Or is it about changing this whole society?
I think it's both, you know?
Yeah.
He wants people to turn away from evil and embrace a different way of life.
Right.
But he's also saying that the whole system's broken.
Like, it needs a total reset.
It needs a total reset, yeah.
That's a pretty radical message.
It is, especially for the people in power.
Yeah, no wonder they wanted to shut him up.
Right. Dr. Wilson talks about that.
Yeah.
How they tried to silence Amos.
What'd they say?
They basically told him to stop prophesying. Really?
Yeah, they couldn't handle the truth.
And it makes you think about, like, all the other prophets.
Right.
All the truth tellers throughout history.
Uh-huh.
Who've been persecuted for speaking out.
It's a pattern, you know?
It really is. It happens over and over again.
So, what can we learn from Amos?
That's a good question.
Like, how do we handle those situations where speaking truth to power could put us at risk?
Well, it's tough, right?
Yeah.
There's no easy answer. But I think Amos shows us we got to be brave.
Even when people are against us.
Even when people are against us. Because if we stay silent when things are wrong, it's like we're part of the problem.
Right. We're complicit.
Exactly.
And we don't always have to be, like, shouting in people's faces.
Right.
Sometimes it's about being smart.
Yeah.
Finding creative ways to get the message across.
Like, make people think, right?
Yeah.
Open their eyes to what's really going on.
So Amos, he used all these powerful images.
He did. He was a master communicator.
Yeah.
He used satire, even humor, to show how hypocritical the leaders were.
Wow. So, okay.
We can learn a lot from him.
Let's say we're ready to speak out.
All right.
To make a difference.
Okay.
What do we actually do?
Yeah, that's the big question, right?
Yeah, it's like, where do we start?
Well, it can be overwhelming, right?
Totally.
But we don't have to fix everything at once.
Yeah, little steps.
Little steps, right?
Yeah.
I think it starts with learning, with educating ourselves about the injustices.
Okay.
Both near and far.
So, like, understanding the problem.
Exactly. We got to understand the problem before we can solve it, right?
Okay, so awareness first.
Awareness first, yeah.
And then?
And then we got to listen to the people who are actually affected by these issues.
Right.
Be allies. Stand with them.
Amplify their voices.
Yes. We need to learn from their experiences. And we got to hold the powerful accountable.
It's not about being perfect
or
knowing everything.
It's about showing up, speaking out, doing what we can.
Even if it's just in our own little corner of the world.
And you know, that's what I love about Amos.
Yeah.
He doesn't let anyone off the hook.
No, he doesn't.
And he emphasizes that God cares about everyone.
Yeah.
Not just Israel, but every nation.
So it's a message for everyone.
It's a message for everyone, like for all time.
It really is. It's about human dignity, you know.
It's a beautiful idea, but
yeah,
it needs a big change in how we think.
Right. We have to move past our own selfish interests.
And think about, like, the bigger picture.
Exactly. Think about everyone.
It's tough, though, right?
It is.
It's so easy to just focus on our own lives.
Oh, yeah.
Our own comfort.
Our own little bubble.
But Amos is like, wake up.
He is.
You can't ignore the suffering.
You got to do something.
Amos is really good at using these images and, you know, historical stuff to make his point.
Oh, he was a master, for sure.
It's like he's getting to you on all these different levels.
He was so good at using the language of everyday life, you know?
Like shepherds, cattle, threshing floors.
Right.
He wanted to connect with his audience, like on a gut level, right?
Right, right.
But he also uses all this history, you know, talking about God's covenant, the Exodus, the conquest of Canaan.
So it's like the personal and the epic all at the same time.
It is. It's this really cool mix. And it all goes back to that central message, right?
Yeah, that justice and righteousness are...
It's all about justice and righteousness. Yeah.
Stay and come.
They're woven into creation itself.
Not just some, like, abstract idea.
No, no.
But the foundation for a good society.
It's how you build a healthy society. Amos isn't just, like, yelling at people.
He's
making an argument.
An argument.
Step by step, showing how Israel messed up.
Yeah.
And how their actions had these huge consequences.
And he doesn't use, like, soft language.
No, he's not afraid to use strong language.
No, he doesn't hold back at all.
Like cows of Bashan.
Yeah. What else?
Selling the righteous for silver.
Trampling the heads of the poor.
Yeah, you wanted to shock people.
Make them uncomfortable.
Wake them up, you know?
Yeah, and that's something we can learn from, right?
Totally.
And sometimes you got to shake things up.
Sometimes you got to be disruptive.
Not be afraid to use strong language.
Yeah, politeness doesn't always work.
Right.
Sometimes you got to be bold.
To really fight injustice.
Make people listen.
Yeah, but it's not just about talking, is it?
No, it's about action.
Doing something.
Yeah, walking the walk.
So Amos is telling us to repent, but also
to act. Yeah.
To act.
He's like, don't just talk about it. Do something.
But it's so easy to feel overwhelmed.
It is. It is.
The problems are just so big.
Right. But remember the ripple effect.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that.
Little things can make a difference.
Small actions can make a big difference over time.
So we don't have to fix everything at once.
No. Start with what you can control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start with learning something. Educating yourself about what's going on.
First, we get informed.
Right. Understand the problem.
Yeah.
Then you can start to figure out how to get involved.
Okay. So knowledge first.
Knowledge is power, right?
And then there are things we can do in our own lives.
Absolutely.
Like, How we spend our money.
Yeah, what we buy.
How we treat other people.
How we interact with each other.
The causes we support.
You can make choices that reflect your values.
It's about being intentional.
It is.
Living with integrity.
And remembering that we're all connected. You know, yeah. Our choices affect other people.
We're part of something bigger than ourselves.
Exactly.
It's not just about me.
And we're not alone in this, right?
Right.
There are people all over the world.
Fighting for good.
Fighting for justice.
Kind of beautiful, isn't it?
It is.
This global movement.
People united.
To make the world better.
And we need that now more than ever.
Right, with all the problems we're facing.
Poverty, climate change, political divisions.
It's a lot. It can feel hopeless, but Amos says we have a choice.
We do.
Give up.
Or
keep fighting.
Choose hope.
Even small actions matter.
Even small actions can have a big impact.
So, even in dark times,
yeah,
we can make a difference.
There's always hope.
Yeah, it's a good reminder.
It is.
That we have the power to change things.
We do.
So, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Amos.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
We hope you learned something.
And that it made you think.
And maybe even inspired you.
Yeah.
And we hope you'll be back next time.
For another deep dive.
To explore something new.
Until then, keep learning, keep asking questions.
And keep fighting for what's right.
Make the world a better place.